good afternoon. So last time we sort of finished talking about things you can do with page tables when you realize that the things that are in the page tables don't have to match the memory the program thinks it has. That the page table is sort of a list for the hardware to know how to access memory, but the OS can have kind of a different idea of what's in memory, and it can fix up the difference between these lists kind of on demand. Basically, the hardware is going to use the list it has, and when there's not something in there, it's asking the OS what to do. And the OS doesn't have to just say, oh, well, if nothing's not there, I can't run the program. The OS can instead say, okay, the reason the program didn't find memory there when it was trying to run this particular instruction is because, well, I didn't set it up yet. Let's set it up, try that again, and this time it will work. And using this technique, we can implement sort of lots of things where memory appears to be more than just sort of plain old storage. So we talked about how we can kind of load and unload things from disk that are part of the program's memory. We can do this copy on write idea where when fork makes a copy, we don't really need to make a copy, at least not right away. We can delay actually copying until there is some writing that requires us to actually have two independent versions. And if that writing never happens, we don't need one. And a bunch of other sort of things we can do with this idea that the OS can fill in the memory kind of dynamically. So then we moved on to talking about storing page tables. So we talked about page tables. They're this list for every virtual page number of some information about the actual physical memory. We had our physical page number. We had this valid bit to say, was there anything there at all? And we also had these permission bits. But we need to actually store these, and it turns out that we want to store a lot of these. So we can't just like have the processor have like one thing the OS sets. Instead, we're going to use some indirection and have the page table stored in memory. And we started with kind of the most basic scheme for doing this, which is that we'd have an array of page table entries in memory. We'd have a base register that points to the beginning of the array. And we'd represent each page table entry as an integer. The processor would just need to decide on some way of encoding that information as an integer. And then the processor, when you access memory, would do an array lookup to figure out what the right page table entry was, use that page table entry to actually access the quote-unquote real data or real instructions or whatever the program is trying to do. Questions on things we covered last time? So I'll start by talking about the assignment that starts, that is due next week, the first part of which is due next week. So we have this page table assignment, which is in three parts, which we'll discuss later, the first part of which is due next week. And in this assignment, you're kind of simulating page tables on top of normal program memory. And you're basically implementing the job of both the hardware and the OS here. So you're implementing this function called translate, which is basically what the hardware does. And you're implementing this function called page allocate, which is basically what the OS, the software, does. So the translate function is going to read a page table and figure out for some virtual address what was the corresponding physical address. And the page allocate function is going to do the kind of allocate on demand thing where you're given an address that needs to have a valid page table entry for it, and you're going to fill in page tables to make that actually work on a future call to translate. In the assignment, since we're kind of building this on top of normal program memory, what we call a virtual address is going to be arguments to your function. What we call in the assignment a physical address is going to be the actual pointers in your C code. And of course, in reality, we're kind of building a layer of virtual memory atop the normal OS's virtual memory. Because we don't want you to do actual low-level programming, because that's way too hard to actually set up to be like nice and testable and all that. And you wouldn't really learn much. So in the assignment, we're going to have some configuration parameters. So we're going to have PO bits. This is the number of page offset bits. So you're going to need to support sort of variable size pages. And the page offset bits is how we'll specify the page size. So if we have, say, 10 page offset bits, that means we have 2 to the 10 things in a page. So our pages would be 2 to the 10 bytes, for example. So that's going to be a configuration parameter that we can change. And we'll also have this levels parameter, which for the part one of the assignment is going to be 1. Later on, we'll explain what I mean by multiple levels, levels being more than 1, that is. And you're going to implement a global pointer, sorry, global variable PTBR, which is going to be our page table base register. So in a processor, we have a register the OS sets. This is going to be our equivalent of that register. It's a size T, because typically we think of the registers as having being integers, but we're going to really store a pointer in there, even though it's not a pointer. We have a translate function. We have a translate function that takes a virtual address and returns the physical corresponding physical address. Remember, you know, fake physical. And we have an allocate function which allocates something if it's not already allocated. If it is already allocated, it should do nothing. So if we think about what our translate function does, I think I may have not matched the assignment correctly. Yeah, sorry. Am I consistent about that? Yes. In the assignment, sorry, I specify size T here, but. So the translate function, and I'm going to show the example here with PO bits being 12, so 2 to the 12 byte pages, which is all you have to do for part one, let's do next week, and levels equals 1. So the translate function, so let's say we set our page table base register to point to a page table, we'll talk about the actual format of that later. That's going to make it so that the translate function is going to look at the addresses passed in and provide the appropriate address out. So we're going to use this page offset here, which is going to be based on our page offset bits. So in this case, it would be 12. And we're going to take that off to figure out the rest of the address, which is our virtual page number. And our virtual page number is going to tell us what to look up. So as an example here, we have virtual page 1. That is physical page 9999. So we're going to pick a physical address, and the physical address has a physical page number we get from the table, and we copy the page offset. That's that rest of that address. And in the case where it's invalid, you're going to return all ones, which one way of writing that is with a complement operator. There's other ways you could write it too. But a value with all bits set. Okay, and page allocate is going to take an address, and you're going to look at where that address would be, and you're going to fill in the page table, making it if necessary. So in this case, this should be a 0, but we're going to fill in the page table, making that address valid if necessary. And to do this, you're going to use POSIX memoline for memory allocation. So one thing we need to do in this assignment is we need to allocate memory that's a whole page. And for the assignment, we're going to have you use this function. And the reason why is because it can specify this alignment property. So if, like, if you malloc for 4,096 bytes, that 4,096 bytes might start at various places within a page, but we want an address that starts at the beginning of a page, with page offset of 0. This function lets you do that, but otherwise works like malloc. So we're going to have you use that, and that's required for the assignment. And I'm talking about this function because a point of confusion is that the way this function returns the thing it allocates is maybe not what people are expecting. So the function fills in a pointer you pass in via a pointer to pointer and returns an error code saying whether the allocation succeeded. So unlike malloc, it doesn't return the pointer. You have to pass in something as an argument for it to fill in. Questions? Yes? Do you have to account for page faults? No. The only functions you are implementing are this translate and page allocate. Yes. And I guess I would note, part of the reason why the WORF assignment has you fill in the size for string split is because it hopefully provides an example of what this function is doing. Same idea. Yes?
So, like, when you talked about the page take place register, I wasn't sure if you said we put a pointer in there or we put an address that is the start of our array of the page table.
Question. Do we put a pointer in the page table base register or an address that's the start of our page table base register? You put... So I would say addresses and pointers are the same thing. The point of confusion is that this is a size T, so if you had a pointer, you're going to need to convert it to store it in there. But you'll store a pointer in there or an address in there, same thing, but it's not literally a pointer, so if you want to use it as a pointer in C, you'll need to cast. Does that answer your question? Okay, and mechanics of the assignment. So part one, due next week, is just implementing it with the configuration parameters being levels equals 12, 1, and PO bits equals 12, and either implementing translate or page allocate, you don't need both. Part 2 and part 3 are due 2 weeks after the break, and this assignment has some code style requirements, and we were going to do a code review in lab. Before that code review, where you're going to, you know, get feedback on your code from your fellow students in small groups, you need to submit what you have. And that is a strict deadline because there's a thing we're doing, so there's no late submissions accepted unless you've talked to me before. For a lab, sort of no late policy. So that's a... there's not partial credit for a late submission there. And then the Friday after that Wednesday lab code review, you'll have your final code, and that's where most of the grade for the whole assignment is. And part of the reason for this is that the things you were supposed to implement earlier, we will retest for the final submission, and that's primarily where we're assessing them. There are grades for part one and two, primarily because I know if I didn't have a grade there, a lot of people wouldn't do them. But most of the grade is in part three. So questions about timeline? Yes. I'll take third row up first, and then I'll go up. Yeah.
Are there any new tests in part three, or is it the same
stuff? Are there any new tests in part three? There are sort of some manual testing instructions in the assignment. The way the testing scripts are set up is basically they run all the tests on every submission, but they're not all part of the grade for every part. but it runs the same test. It should run basically the same test suite no matter which part you're submitting. But it just, the grade will be based on different parts. And because we have a bunch of code style things and like readme's for the last part, a lot of this assignment will be manually graded. Questions up there? We're going to answer them. Okay. So we have these page tables. You might say, how are they stored? So our page table, we have this sort of page table entry format that we expect. And in that format, so I'm showing you the page table entries are going to be represented as integers. So like we saw in our examples before, and the particular way we're going to do that is that we're going to say our physical page number part is going to be the upper bits of the page table entry. Then we're going to have some unused bits, and then the least significant bit is going to be our valid bit. We're not going to have any permission bits. And very deliberately, this is set up such that if you look at a physical address, the bits of the physical page number of the page table entry and a physical address are in the same place, which might save you some code. That's not like something page table entries always do, but it's actually a common thing processors do because it's more convenient when you're writing OS code that manipulates page tables, if this holds true, because you can just take a page table entry and mask out the lower bits to get something you can construct a physical address with. And kind of as a pictorial view, this is also in the assignment of what your functions will do. So your translate function, let's say our page table base register is set and it contains the address 1000. In that case, when we pass in something to that function, you'll take the virtual page number of that, you do an array lookup. And our page table entries, if you look carefully in the previous slide, are 8 bytes, 64 bits. So we're going to take our base address plus the virtual page number times 8, and we're going to read a page table entry there. We're going to decode it into a physical page number and a valid bit. And if the valid bit is 1, you're going to say, okay, at that physical page number times the page size, so that physical page number plus zeros in the page offset, same calculation, is the page, and we have to take the page offset to figure out where in the page to return an address. Yes?
So that, the yellow space below the red line, is that space that has just been allocated?
Is the yellow space below the red line space that has just been allocated? No. So the translate function does no allocation.
Right.
And if things aren't allocated, it just returns all ones as a sort of sentinel value. Okay. The page allocate function is the only thing that will actually allocate anything.
In this example, has the yellow already then been allocated?
Question, in this example, has the yellow been allocated? Yes. So in this example, everything has been set up in advance somehow. And in your implementation, either this will be happening done by your page allocate function, or in testing, we have some instructions for manually setting this up so you can test translate without having implemented anything else. And also some of our tests will manually set it up so we can test your translate and give you credit for it even if your page allocate doesn't work. Yes? The question is, can you try to write both? Absolutely. You'll need them eventually. And if you submit something with both, we will use the one that gives you the highest score. Okay. Other questions? Okay. And so page allocate, let's say we call it the first time. So initially, the page table base register is not going to point anywhere. So what page allocate should do the first time it's called is it should set the page table base register to point to some new memory it allocates to hold the page table. And in there, it should set things up. So, well, initially we have some invalid page table entries, and it should fill that in with another allocation to the new memory. So this is setting up the exact situation you were worried about of like that yellow region and also the page table itself. That's what your page allocate function should do the first time it runs. And on future calls, we're gonna, we'd already have a page table set up and might have to fill in additional entries in the page table by allocating new spaces for the actual data, the things I'm coloring yellow on these slides. Yes? Question, so the first one we need to use POSIX memory line twice? Yes. And with levels equals one, and it will turn out that we'll need to use it more times when we increase the value of levels, as we'll discuss later today.
And then when we run it again, will we resize the original green area to make yellow?
So the question is, when we run it again, do we need to resize the green area? No. So our size of our page table is fixed, and you need to have the whole thing. And the reason why we need to have the whole thing is if you think of what the processor does, is that it looks things up based on what the code it's running in these programs that we don't want to access weird memory are doing. So we need to have all the entries there just in case the program chooses to access an address that requires going to that entry, just so the processor knows it's invalid. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Yeah. Question, how do we know we're not putting it in the spot we're not supposed to? So in the assignment, we're relying on POSIX memoline to figure out what spaces are okay to use in the quote-unquote physical memory, which is really your program's addresses. And so that takes care of the restrictions on, like, you're not going to allocate over the stack with that, because like malloc, it makes new memory. The only other restriction is, well, our addresses need to be a multiple of the page size. That's what the alignment argument for POSIX memoline is going to let you do. Does that answer your question? Okay. Other questions? Okay. And yes. And we're on slide. And come on. Okay, didn't do that correct. Okay, so one more sort of view of this, just so we help understanding. So if we think of what's happening in the assignment is that we can also relate it to this picture you saw earlier, that the translate function is taking this number and returning this number, or returning the all ones value if there would be an exception. And the page allocate function is going to be first filling in the table, making the table exist if it doesn't already. That's the reason we had extra allocation the first time it runs. And also filling in an entry if it's not set. So, other questions on the assignment? And, oh, I should also clarify, since we're talking, have due dates here. When I say part two is due before lab, it's due before the first lab. You don't get extra time because you're in the 5 p.m. lab or 6:30 lab. Okay. So we talked about our assignment, which is going to be sort of actually doing a sort of simulation of the page tables we've seen so far for part one, and we alluded to this thing with extra levels for parts two and three. And this is going to be sort of our name for the design that's going to save space, because we can't actually store a really huge page table. Well, huge in the sense we can't store a page table that represents a huge number of virtual addresses nicely. So if we think of like my laptop, I can have enough virtual address bits that if we stored our page table kind of flat, it would take up like half a terabyte. Obviously, I don't have my OS allocating half a terabyte for every program just to store page tables. And also, as we mentioned, with kind of our flat page table scheme, we need all the entries there, because otherwise the processor doesn't know which pages are invalid. So to deal with this, to like make this space tractable, especially for like 64-bit systems where we have big pointers and therefore a huge number of virtual page numbers, we're going to need to save space. And the primary way we save space is by not storing invalid entries. And to do that, we're going to use a data structure that's not a flat array. And I told you that the solution we'll come up with is using a tree-like data structure already. And a question people often have with this is like, why don't we use the other thing you probably learned about in the prior course that allows us to store something kind of like an array where we look up by a key and get a value, but most of the keys aren't valid in the range of values of a hash table? And that's a very reasonable choice. In fact, there have been some processors that actually use this scheme. It is very much not the most common option today, and even when there were processors that would use it, they were kind of exceptions. But it is absolutely a thing we could do, but instead most processors have settled on this tree data structure. If I had to guess as to kind of the primary reason why processors haven't used the hash table-based scheme, it's probably because dealing with collisions just makes things too awkward. Another factor is when people were using the hash table-based scheme, it often was implemented in a way where it imposed restrictions on how the OS could lay out memory that maybe were considered problematic. So we're going to use a tree data structure, and you might say, okay, so this is going to be like something like an AVL tree, and the answer is no. It's not going to look like the binary search trees you probably have seen in some prior class. And there's a reason for this, in that we have sort of different constraints about how the lookup is going to happen. So one thing is that our lookup is going to be implemented in hardware. And therefore, we want to make it very simple to implement in hardware. And one thing that would not be quite so simple in hardware is a lookup where we have sort of a variable number of steps, a lookup where we have to do lots of comparisons. So we're not going to do that. And the lookup is primarily going to work by splitting up the bits of the address, as we'll see later, which is going to be really simple in the hardware. The other thing is that we don't want to do lots of memory accesses. So I showed you that with sort of our simple page tables that were stored in memory, we turned every memory access into two memory accesses. And that's pretty slow. Now, we're going to have some tricks with caches, as we'll talk about as our next topic in this class, that will make that faster. But even with that, it's still pretty slow. So we want to limit the number of memory accesses it involves. And if we use something like a binary tree, well, we'd have a lot of accesses because the binary tree is relatively tall. But here, we don't want a tall tree. We want a very short tree. So our solution is that we're going to have a tree with many, many children at each node. And that's going to allow us to have sort of a short, stubby tree rather than a tall, spread-out tree like you would target for sort of a normal in-memory sort of tree map type data structure. So questions on the reasons for these two design choices. Okay, so let's look at what this looks like with the two-level version. So here our tree has two levels, meaning its depth is exactly two or three, depending on how you consider the leaf, three basically, if we think of our single level page tables as a tree with depth of one, right? You can think of the single level page table as, oh, we have a page table and it points to each of the pages. So that's a tree with depth of one. So we're gonna extend this to make this a tree of depth of two, where we have a page table we'll call the first level page table. And rather than pointing directly to our sort of end result, our leaves of the tree, it's going to point to other page tables. And what we'll do is we'll divide up the virtual page numbers among the second level page tables. So for example, if I'm looking for virtual page number 305 here, I'm going to look at my first level table and say, oh, I use the fourth entry here, and that points me to this table here, and 305 is going to be the fifth entry in that table. So our first level table is the root of the tree. It has, in this case, 256 children, and each of those children points to a table with another 256 children, and those children are actual page table entries that point to the data in the program. So each of these sort of nodes of our tree here has the exact same format as the page tables we saw with the simpler scheme. It's just that they only either they represent a subset of the addresses for our last level, or they point to other tables. So you might say, how does this save space? Because if we just fill out all these tables fully, then this adds extra space, right? I just have all these second level tables that I previously was storing in one big table, but now I'm storing them separately plus additional first level tables. And the reason we're gonna save space is because when I have all the things in the second level table invalid, I won't bother storing a second level table at all. I'll just have the first level say, hey, if you're looking for address 123, virtual page number 123, well, everything from 100 to 1FF is invalid, so just stop at the first level. It just says there's nothing here in that whole range. And this is going to work very well for normal programs because we have these big empty regions. So large portions of these regions can be represented by one entry in the first level table. We don't need something for each individual page. Yes? So the question is, adds an extra level of digging for every single time you want to access the page, what sort of a performance cost does it have? So if we didn't do some caching we talked about earlier, all forms of page tables would add what most people would consider an unacceptable performance cost. So the reason why this performance is tolerable is that we'll learn later that the processor usually doesn't do the lookup, that we're going to have a way of remembering the important page table entries in a fast way, such that we only do the lookup 0.01% of the time or something. And if that wasn't the case, your performance is gonna be not so great. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Yeah. Is that pointing to the page table entry? That's what the page table entry is conceptually doing. So in both cases, what's actually going to be stored in here is not really a pointer. So these are going to be page table entries like we've seen before, where we have a valid bit, possibly some permission bits or other sort of extra bits, and a physical page number. And that's what I'm calling pointing to something else. So in our last level, we're going to have page table entries that work exactly like the ones we see on our sample table, where I swap these. use. That should be valid, and I don't know what's going on there. Okay, so, but we have a valid bit and a physical page number, and that's what we mean by having a pointer to the actual data. So it's not a pointer like you could use in C. You'd have to do some conversion, but it acts like a pointer in that it tells you where the data is. And our first level table is going to have the same kind of format, and kind of the only difference here is just that, you know, well, I guess there's two big differences. So one is that, you know, the first row of the table is about a whole range of addresses, and the second row too. Each one is about this range of addresses, and we're going to actually choose our table sizes such that that range of addresses we can determine by looking at some of the bits of the virtual page number. That's just what's going to make this look up pretty efficient in hardware, and also not too bad if you're doing it in software. So we're not going to like do any division or anything like that. We just look at some bits of the virtual address, and that determines which row of the table we go in. And we're going to have a physical page number here, but rather than telling us where the program's data is, this just tells us where to find the next node of the tree, the next page table. And this means that in the scheme, page tables are going to need to start at the beginning of a page. Yes? Question for the second table, all entries are either valid or invalid. So in both of these tables, we have valid bits in every entry for both levels.
So would it be possible, like, the valid bit in the first level, for example, in the first entry is invalid, and for the second,
So question, is it possible for the first level to be invalid but to have something valid in the second level? No. If we see that the first level is invalid, the processor is just going to stop looking. So if there's if any level is invalid, we're done. What the processor is going to do is it's going to tell the OS, hey, the program tried to access something that wasn't valid. It's not going to continue going. Yeah. Why did I cross out the word valid? Because I misrepresented the slide here and I don't have these separated correctly to switch drawings. Sorry. I crossed it out for this slide where the valid column should be here. Which I will correct this after lecture and upload a new PDF. So let's look at sort of what the mechanical process of looking this up looks like. So we're going to take our virtual page number, or sorry, virtual address. We're going to split out the page offset and the virtual page number. And in this case, we have two levels, so we're going to split up the virtual page number in two pieces. And in this example, the two pieces are the same size because our tables are the same size for both levels. This is typically what you see, but not always. And the primary reason why not always is, let's say I have, you know, a 19-bit virtual page number. There's no way I could split up those pieces evenly, so processors with that sort of scheme are going to do something where some levels have a smaller table than others. Typically what they'll do is they'll have the first level have a smaller table than the others when things don't split up nicely for them. But we have this sort of first, so in this case they're split up evenly because our two tables are the same size, and that's also going to be the case on the page table assignment, that we're always going to have all the tables be the same size, so the split up will be even. So we're going to take our first part, which is going to be the most significant part. Why the most significant part? Because we want to group ranges of addresses together. So if things are in the same range, their top bits are the same. And we're going to do an array lookup that looks the same as what we did for a single level, except we're not using the whole virtual page number, we're just using the first part. And we're going to get a page table entry from the first level, and we're going to do all the checking we would do in our simple page tables on that. We're going to check the valid bit, we're going to check any permission bits, and if there's a problem, we're going to trigger an exception. We're going to say, we're done. Hey OS, I saw something was wrong when I was trying to have this program access things. What do you want me to do about this? If that doesn't happen, then we're going to get a physical page number, but we're not done, because we need to kind of repeat the same process, but at the second level. So we're going to take our physical page number, we're going to convert it to a physical address, and do another array lookup. But this time, the base of our array is not our page table base register. It's going to be this thing we got from the page table entry at the first level. And this time, our index into the array is not the first part of the virtual page number, it's the second part. So we have a second part instead of the first part. But this is the same lookup process, just we have a different starting point, which is from the previous step, and we have a different index, which is just from the next part of the address. So we're going to use this to get a second page table entry, and we're going to do the same kind of detection of, does this trigger a fault because it's invalid? If it is valid, we have a physical page number, and we're going to use that to form our final address with the page offset, same as the last step when we had our single level simple page tables in memory. Yes?
So in this example, both levels of the page table are the same length. Is that what we can expect from the simulation?
Question, in this example, both levels of the same page table are the same length. Is that what we can expect in the assignment? Yes. As I said, there are real systems where that's not the case, where basically there's just an exception for the first level usually. Which actually wouldn't, the only thing it would change on this picture is just how big the first virtual page number part is. Other questions? Yeah. Is the main benefit of having multiple layers that we can stop looking at an invalid page early on? Yes. And that's a benefit because that saves us space, right? This doesn't make things faster. It makes things take up less space. And the space savings is that, you know, in this example here, right, I didn't need to store page table entries for these big ranges, page table entries for each of those 512 addresses that range from hex 100 to hex 2FF. I just stored two entries in my first level table, and that told the processor all about that. Does that answer your question? Yeah. The question is, are the second level page tables sort of stored contiguously? And the answer is no, because when we fill in the first level table, we can put whatever numbers we want here. So the OS doesn't need to put them, have their locations, have any relationship to each other, as long as it puts it in the first level table. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Yeah. So the question is, why can't I only have the second level page table and just have the ones that are invalid? Just have the ones that are valid in there? And, well, the answer is that the processor is doing this kind of mechanical lookup process, right? And if we just try to start, have one level, it's going to compute an address here. And it's going to try to access whatever's there. So you need to have something for it to find when it computes that address that says invalid. And that basically prevents us with a single level scheme from, or any of these schemes, from shortening these tables. We need to have entries for all the virtual page numbers, sorry, all the virtual page number bit values that are possible in these tables, because potentially a program could try to access it and the processor can't tell that it's not filled in. The only way it can tell that is that it's going to read it and find out that it's zeros. Does that answer your question? So there's not, you know, the processor, all the processor knows is you told me the beginning address, I'm going to look after that based on what the access was. So this scheme, you know, the reason we save space here is because we can stop early. So I'm showing in the here, this is with two levels. We can extend this to three or four levels. It turns out 64-bit x86 most commonly uses four levels. Some very new processors support five levels. But the principle is basically the same. The addition of levels is just that we have sort of additional steps where we take in a base address and part of the virtual page number and use that to feed the next step instead of having sort of, you know, this terminating step where we actually get the final address. Yes.
Sorry, so your step, like the starting point for the second time recalculating it is the result of the page table based register plus the computational entry size.
The starting point for the first time I calculated? For the second lookup here, this is the result, this is from the first page table. So this is from first page table entry. So the result of the first level lookup tells us where to start for the second level.
So rather than starting from, you know, 1000, that's
yes. Right. In questions, rather than starting from the page table base register, yes. So basically, the result of the previous level substitutes for the page table base register in the future levels. And if we're kind of thinking about this generally, another way you could think about it is that we're doing just a bunch of array lookups. So we can say that we're going to take the first part of our virtual page number, and we're going to do an array lookup where the base of the array is the page table base register, and the index is the first part of the virtual page number. Then we're going to get a page table entry that's going to tell us the base of the next array. We're going to do an array lookup where the index is the second part of the virtual page number, and the base comes from that page table entry, and that's going to give us the base of another array where we're going to use the page offset. And when I've done things, that last lookup kind of looks less like an array lookup because there's like this little net that this is, and that this is array of bytes is kind of how we're viewing our pages here, because the page offset is a byte number. And these are arrays of entries, which are typically bigger than a byte. So the actual calculation is a little different between these two, but effectively it's just a sequence of array lookups with slightly different types of arrays and slightly different ways of getting the address where the array starts. Yes?
Is there a point where like more levels becomes like less efficient than why is five like the model?
So the question is, why is four or five, why did they choose that? So in the assignment, we've chosen to have the page tables take up exactly one page. And this is commonly something processors will try to do, and that usually seems to determine the number of levels they use. So with four levels on 64-bit x86, they have page tables that are one page, so 4,096 bytes. And they have 8-byte page table entries, so there's 512 entries per table. And that means our virtual page number can be 9 times 4 bits, or 36 bits. And so that's how they arrived at four levels, is that they wanted to have the virtual page numbers at least that big. And they each, and if each page table took up a page, they needed 9 bits for each level. So they got that size. And the newer systems that have 5 levels, that was motivated not by sort of greater efficiency of more levels, but by wanting bigger virtual page numbers. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Yeah.
I have a question about caches, but I suspect that we're covering that next.
Yes, you can. We will be covering caches more next, but I can answer some questions.
No, it's more
next. Okay. Okay, so multi-level page tables. So we split our virtual page number into parts for each level. The top levels, we point to the next level. The bottom level, we actually point to the quote-unquote real page where the actual program code or data would be. And we do all our validity checks at each level. So we don't like do the whole thing and check if it's valid. We have to check as we go, because the whole point of this multi-level scheme is that we don't need to have the whole table represented. And I'd like to give a terminology note, because every semester I see people telling me, oh, our address has 4 VPNs because we're using 4 levels. So terminology note, the virtual page number is the whole page number, the whole part of the address that is not the page offset. So I will try to be consistently call these multiple parts of the virtual page number, or like page table indices or some other term. Don't call the parts a virtual page number, please. I guess also a note on the assignment. So in the assignment, as we mentioned, we're gonna have a variable number of levels, and as has been elucidated, our page tables are always one page in size. This means that we're gonna end up not using all the possible bits of the numbers you pass in as a virtual address to your functions. As is the same is true in my laptop, like not all the bits of pointers are used, the same is gonna be true in your assignment. So even though we're passing in a 64-bit integer, not all of that 64-bit integer is gonna be used because our page tables aren't gonna be that big depending on the values of levels and units. So we've talked about the mechanics of how this works, so let's do some examples. So I'm gonna do some setup here for an example similar to the exercise we ended on last time. But we're gonna have 2 levels instead of 1. And I'm gonna have 9-bit virtual addresses and 6-bit physical addresses, and I'm gonna have 8-byte pages like we did in our example last time, which means we have 3-bit page offsets, because 8 is 2 to the 3. So the bottom bits of our physical and virtual addresses are page offsets. Then I'm going to have page tables that take up 1 page, so 8 bytes, with 1-byte entries, meaning they have 8 entries in them. And if they have 8 entries, that means the parts of the virtual page number have to be 3 bits, because if we think of these numbers, they range from, the indices here range from 0 to 7, or if we're writing in binary, from 0 to 111. So we have 3 bits for each part of our virtual page numbers, meaning at each level, we're gonna use 3 bits. So our virtual address gets divided up into three parts, the virtual page number being divided in half in this case. One half, the first half for the first level lookup, the second half for the second level lookup. So this is gonna be a scheme we're gonna use on an exercise. Some questions about here. Yes.
So physical address,
question, if the physical address is 6 bits, does this mean we don't use the first 3 bits of the virtual address? No, we're gonna use all of the virtual address bit, all 9 bits of the virtual address in this case, for our lookup. But because there are less possible physical addresses, either a bunch of virtual addresses need to be invalid, or a bunch of virtual addresses need to map to the same physical address. This is actually the most common scenario on systems today. So for example, on my laptop, virtual addresses are larger than physical addresses. So whenever I'm running a program, it's always the case that there are going to be some virtual addresses that are either invalid or point to the same things as other, you know, use the same memory as other virtual addresses. And typically, there's just a lot that are invalid. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Okay, so we have this exercise. So let's, our page table based register is going to be 0x20. So our first level is going to use an 8-byte page table here. And we have 1-byte entries. So this is the first entry, the second entry, the third entry, and so on, or index 0, 1, 2, 3, and so on. And I want to translate this virtual address. Give you some time to work on it. I would write things down. If you want to do it in your head, that's fine with me, but I wouldn't do that.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'll do our first level lookup and get the results of that. So the first step I recommend is we have our virtual address. I've divided it up into its three components. We have our page offset at the end, 001. We're not going to use that for a while because that's at the very last step. And I have my two parts of my virtual page number, and we're going to use the part that is most significant first, so the leftmost as I've written it now. And so that's going to be 100, also known as 4. And I'm going to do an array lookup with that, using 4 as my array index, and the base of the array is our page table base register value of 20. So if I was looking for my array starts here. If I was looking for element 0, that's here. 1, 2, 3, 4. Another way I can say this is that I take my base plus this 4 here times the size of array elements, which is 1, and I get 0x24 is the address of my actual array element. Now, that we have the value F4 there, but that's supposed to be a page table entry, so we have to decode that. And I've been told here how to decode it. So the same as our exercise last time, we're told that the top 3 bits of the page table entry are the physical page number, and then we have a valid bit, and then we have some unused stuff. So our entry is F4, which is going to be in binary is 11110100. Our top 3 bits are physical page number, and then we have a valid bit. So the first thing I'm going to look at is the valid bit is 1. Therefore, we can continue. If it wasn't 1, we can just stop. We don't need to bother caring about anything else, because we know that this access, this translation, will not succeed. So then we have a physical page number of 111, which you might also know as the number 7. And that's giving us not a full address, it's giving us the page number. So remember our memory here, we have a bunch of bytes of memory that are divided into these pages, these 8-byte chunks. So the first physical page are these 8 bytes. That's page 0, physical page 0. Physical page 1 is these 8 bytes. Physical page 2 is these. 3, then 4, then 5, and so on. Because the page represents 8-byte chunks, and we're just getting the number of a page chunk, in this case 8 bytes, not a specific byte yet. Now, to actually sort of do the next step, substituting for our page table base register, which was a specific byte, I want to probably convert that page number into a specific byte. So I'm going to do that by basically adding zeros onto the end to it to convert that. So a way I can do that is I can say our physical addresses are a physical page number and a page offset. So one way I can think about it is I'm going to fill in a bunch of zeros there for the offset and copy the physical page number. Another way I can think about it is that I'm taking the physical page number and multiplying it by the page size to determine how far to go. So if it's going to page 2, I'd want to go 2 times the page size, 16 bytes in. Going to page 7, I want to go 7 times the page size, or 56 bytes in. Either way, we're going to come up with the address 1100, which is equal to 0x38, which we could either compute by taking a page offset and adding it to our page number, like looking at the physical address format, or by saying that this is the same as sort of our 7 times our page size. Both will compute the same value. So I have my method of saying I'm going to take the physical page number and combine it with the page offset of 0 to say it starts at the beginning of that page and the physical page number comes from the entry. Or I can take physical page number 7 times the page size to get where to go in memory. They'll give me the same answer. Yes?
Why is the page number 0 instead of 1?
Why is the page number 0 instead of 1? Where is the page? Why is the first page 0?
Sorry, the dark blue line, I understood that as a page offset.
Because the dark blue number line is the page offset, yes.
Okay, and then down here you have physical page number, page offset.
Oh, so question, why is my page offset in this case zero?
Yeah.
So this is not the page offset for the final result. This is the page offset for the second level table.
Okay.
And as a convention, when we're doing our multi-level page tables, they'll always start at the beginning of a page. And that's how we're going to use a page number to find them. Because if they start in the middle of a page, and we only have a page number, we can't find it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
How do we know it starts at 00?
We're going to have a rule that all our page tables are going to start at the beginning of a page. And we kind of need that because we're using these page table entries, which don't have space for anything other than the page number. Does that answer your question?
Still, we would have to know where the memory is at. It's the second level of base register, I guess.
Question, we'd have to know where in memory. How do we know exactly where 00 is? So the page number is always based on physical address 0. And so we always start counting at 0. And we know how many bits to add based on the page size, always, or how much to multiply by. But we're always counting from 0. It's always based, the OS has always set up these page table entries based on sort of physical address 0 being the sort of base value. Does that answer your question?
So we always start at 00, like exactly 00 for the second level?
So question, we always start at exactly 00 for the second level? So I guess I'm not sure what part you're asking about here. So this is where the second level lookup is going to start, is at this address. We computed that by taking a value we got in the entry we found at the first level and adjusting that from a page number to a full address. Maybe something which will make this clearer is we can relate back to this diagram here. I'm just doing a conversion here, convert a physical page number to a physical address. But that's what I'm implementing. Does that answer your question? Other questions? Yes.
So each level returns a page number of the next level down.
Question, each level returns a page number of the next level down? Yes. And the reason we're just doing a page number is this makes all the levels the same as the last level as far as what they're doing internally. Yes.
Where do you get the page offset 000?
Where do I get the 000 page offset? We're just going to say all our page tables are going to be at the beginning of a page, so their beginning is always offset 0. And that's because otherwise we can't really use a page number to find them. Yes.
Where did you get the
111? Where did I get the 111? I got it from this value here, which I decoded based on our page table entry format. Yes? Where does this times 1 come from? It comes from the size of page table entries. Yeah?
So you don't care about the 4 at all in the
F4? Do I not care about the 4 at all in the F4? Indeed, I do not. And that's because I was told that part of the page table entry we're not using. So probably in a real processor, they would use maybe more than half the page table entry, but it is very common to have unused bits that might maybe be used in the future. So those unused bits will be where we'd add a read or a writable bit, for example, if we wanted to do that. Other questions? Okay, so then we do our next lookup. And this is our base address for the next lookup is 0x38. And I want to take the next part of our virtual page number. So I'm going to take 0x38 plus the next virtual page number part, which is 101, also known as 5. So I'm going to take that plus 5 times 1. And I'm going to get, well, I can look here. So we have index 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm going to get the address 0x3d. And the value I'm going to find there is 0xdc. And I'm going to decode that as a address. And I should check, make sure I have my work correct here. Yeah. And get 1101 and some other stuff. And this first part is our final physical page number, and this next part is our valid bit. So it is valid, so we continue, and then we're going to take that final physical page number and combine it with the original page offset. That's our final step of our lookup. And because my handwriting is bad, I have this all written out. And also, I have it color-coded. So in our last step, we get this OXDC value here. We decode that into physical page number 110 and a valid bit of 1. It's valid, so we continue. We take that physical page number, and we're at the last step, so we combine it with the original page offset, and that's where we're going to read a value. So we end up reading this OXA here. Yes?
So is this how levels are generally stored, sort of flattened out in a line like this?
Question, levels are generally stored flattened out? So levels, yes, because memory is flat, right?
Sure.
Apparently.
All level 1 and then level 2 and then level 3 and then level 4. Like,
yeah.
As in our, if we look from 20 to whatever, 2C, is that all level 1?
Oh, question. Are they like adjacent to each other? No. Because the page table entries tell us where to find the next level, the OS has complete freedom on where it places each level. This is by design, because it means if you're writing an OS, you don't need to care in your thing that allocates memory about, you know, reserving space for extra levels. All you do is you implement something that finds any page. That answer your question? Okay. Other questions? Yes.
So like the final result of this would be the OSOA.
So if the program was asking to read from this address, it would read the value OXOA. If it was asking to write to this address, we would modify this value OXOA. Does that answer your question?
But the physical address is OX31, right?
Question, the physical address is OX31? Yes. So that would be like what your translate function returns, but the processor has to do the actual work of accessing memory after that.